Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge our spiritual growth. Today we are continuing our discussion on the Holy Spirit in prayer and warfare. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, 10, and 11.
And by the way, the power of God is always via the cross. That's just a one-liner. The power of God is always via the way of the cross. If you don't understand the cross and all of its implications, then you're going to have a hard time knowing the power of God.
This is Sharon Hoskins. Please join Janie Ratzliff and I in this challenging conversation. To have the power of God, we need to know the precious promises, how to put on the armor, and to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, to know, reckon, and apply the work of the cross for us and in us, Janie.
This conversation, Sharon, I think we're going to have to start rating them. So I think we'll put this one at about an 8+ for today's challenging conversation.
Are you sure it's not a 10?
Well, it may be. We probably don't know the understanding of the depths to do a 10, all right? But we have been seeing over the course of the last couple of years just a deterioration, a very obvious, aggressive deterioration in our nation, in our culture, in the compromise with the way many churches choose to worship. Mm-hmm. So today is kind of a wake-up call to you and I as to what do we need to declare to be a warrior for Jesus Christ?
I really don't think that we fully understand the power of God.
Oh, I can guarantee you, nor do we understand the depths that we have fallen in mm-hmm. sin. We have are learning, continue to learn to minimize sin and call it everything else but sin. And so that lets our consciences become callous and insensitive.
Yeah.
So let me give you just a couple of examples of where we seem to rally and then where we seem to maybe fall back a little. Okay.
Okay.
A lot of us are sports fans, and this time of the year, there's a lot of sports going on. Mm-hmm. And when a team gets together and they discuss their plans and their plays, their whole goal is winning, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't think about, well, I'm just going to be faithful here, or I'm just going to be a good steward when I have the ball.
Yeah. I'm just gonna play well.
Yeah. So they seem to have the aggressiveness if they want to be a winning team. Then let's take the military. If we had a military that just went out and wanted to be sure that they could stop off and still get a pedicure because their feet had been slopped up in mud and everything, and they decided they really didn't want to take the armor and the guns out because it was a little too heavy,
yeah.
Then where would we be with our freedom? A military stands over a map. And they look and plot maneuvers and they plot their strategies and they look at the next step, but the next step is to take them to the next step and the goal is winning the war. Mm. Correct?
Correct.
When a health crisis is discovered and we need to take steps for a total recovery, we'll go to a doctor and he'll offer a course of action, even though he knows there's certain unknowns that we're going to have to face. He still plots a plan.
Right.
Okay, to bring us back to health. Very few people are going to show up with the idea of just say, well, I think I'll come see you and mark some time and let you charge me your fees. And we'll just kind of see how things go. I mean, we're in there for a purpose, especially at the fees that are charged.
Right.
And we're looking for something that is going to require us listening to the doctor.
Yeah, and taking his orders.
Right. And in the military, they've got to listen to the leaders. And in sports,
there's always a follow-through.
And there's always someone that's got to be at the head.
Yes.
For the team to be able to execute the mind of the head. And we know that for us as Christians, Jesus Christ is our head, and that the members of the body, each having their own unique gift and calling and purpose, are to work as a team, taking orders from the head, so that the head's goal for its team, which would be the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, can have an eternal fulfillment. But when we get to us individuals, we sometimes decide that we don't want to play by the rules. They're too difficult. Mm-hmm. They're too restraining. And besides, I just don't believe it. And then many of us have been told that character is not necessary in leadership or in team play. And unfortunately, we've seen that played out in our government over the last decade or so. And so as long as you've got a winning strategy, it doesn't matter
how you treat people, or the integrity that you have,
or just who you are as a person, as right. long as you can manipulate, finagle,
and get the job done.
And yes, and okay. get the job done. So there, all of a sudden, we come across as very weak in character and stewardship. And so I've had to ask, why? Why? Because we've been given other examples. And I think at this point, if you will let me indulge me, I just want to talk about a few of the people that we can look to. We can go to Hebrews 11 and look at the hallmark of faith. But let me just give you a couple of quick, short descriptions.
Okay.
Cripple a person, and you have Sir Walter Scott, who was a writer, a poet, a historian, and he achieved all of that as a cripple. Or you have John Bunyan, who in a prison cell wrote the classic Pilgrim's Progress, mm-hmm. by which millions have gained insight as to how to walk the path that leads from earth to the eternal. Or raise up in abject poverty, and you have Abraham Lincoln. Burn him so severely in a schoolhouse fire that doctors say he'll never walk again, and you have Glenn Cunningham, who set a world's record in 1934 for running a mile in 4.67 seconds. Take someone who had religious conviction, Eric Liddell, who would not run on Sunday, and he refused to do it, but he stood his ground because of his conviction. He was bold. He wasn't going to say, well, this is too big of an event for me not to run. I'll have to make an exception.
Now, something, No compromise.
But something I learned about him, and here is where we want to go with our boldness. This was in 1934 that he stood his ground. And 20 years later, he died in a concentration camp. Now, he stood his ground, and yet that didn't qualify him for being on easy street. Now he's just going to go out and do some teaching or helping mm-hmm. or form a para group, okay? Yeah. He somehow got caught up in the war and wound up in a prison camp and died there. But he will shine bright yeah. as a bright star throughout eternity. The last one I'll just mention today is call him dumb, stupid, and uneducatable. And you have Albert Einstein. They said he was, don't send him to school because he can't learn. Well, you know what? He thought outside the box. He thought outside the normal cultural thinking of his day. And yet we all profit from that.
Yes.
So we need to say, as we open up this study on warfare, is that afflictions or adversarial conditions are no excuse for not coming up and being a warrior.
Right. I think just understanding that there are some marching orders that we need to be taking, but we don't have to take them alone. We take them within the power of God, in His strength, in His might. And that's the amazing thing to me, is we seem to try to figure out how to put on this armor without the strength of the Lord.
Well, and you know, if you've got a word picture in your mind, stop and think when David was given all of Saul's armor, and he just said, it's too big, it's too clumsy, this will slow me down. Mm-hmm. In other words, that was a symbol of him taking on man's protection to slay the giant.
Right.
And so he strips, and he probably has on a little robe or a little tunic or something, and he picks up some stones and a slingshot.
Well, so we talked about a few weeks ago, just reading through those scriptures, and does that put on our armor? So how do we put on the armor of God so that we can be prepared for the battle?
Well, I think probably we need to stop off in Ephesians 4:5. You know, Ephesians 1-3 told us what we have been given as our foundation.
Okay.
All right. And then in chapter 4, it says, now I've given you the basics. I've given you a solid foundation. I've showed you who you are in Christ. I've showed you who Christ is.
Okay.
And now let's put some meat on the situation. So he goes to chapter 4 and he says, now let's walk worthy. Well, unfortunately, many of us do not understand what a worthy walk is, and I find it just delightfully refreshing to just read through some of the things that chapter 4 and 5 tell us. And we can see, and I'm not going to give any particular verses because you just need to read the whole chapters, but mm-hmm. we can lay down things like agape love has got to be a priority if we're going to be ready for warfare. Unity with our teammates, with our fellow man, with the body of Christ is a necessity. Mm-hmm. You can't have a company B going out to war and company B says, well, I think I'll go over here. And the part of the other company says, well, we'll go over here just because that's what they feel like doing.
Which is kind of what we've done as Christians. We have all of these different denominations and every church is doing their own thing. We really don't work as a body of Christ.
No.
Do we?
Well, I'm struggling with that because we say one thing and then we do another. Now, I am not criticizing anything about denominations,
uh-huh.
but denominations are divisions. And so why are they divisions? Well, sometimes it's because of the strong doctrinal differences. And there is a time that strong doctrinal differences, especially if it's denying who Jesus Christ is and mm-hmm. the Trinity, may have to pull apart. But not because you don't like the music or not because you don't agree on the color scheme mm-hmm. or the remodel of the church. But people do leave just on those fleshly criteria. So unity is really a necessity. And then, Sharon, character, it's not an option. God will sacrifice your ministry, my ministry, anybody's ministry, if the character is not conducive with the calling of the ministry. Okay? The Lord privileges us to have a ministry,
mm-hmm.
but He requires that we have His character.
Yes.
That His disposition.
And that requirement supersedes your ministry.
Yes. And if you remember, when we embarked on this endeavor, I said, oh, Sharon, we're going to have to live what we teach,
yeah.
which means we're going to probably stay in the fire a good portion of the time.
Yeah.
And that's proven to be true.
Yes.
Okay. But if the character is not real, people can see through it, and especially an unbeliever. Many times they will see the two-facedness or the hypocrisy before another believer will, because yeah. a believer may be trapped in their own hypocrisy and not see it. But an unbeliever will see light from darkness. And so that's why our character has got to have the disposition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says He gives us that disposition when He gives us Himself. But we must allow Him to show us how to develop the character. We are responsible for developing our character. And character is what we are when nobody else is around. We can always put on a good face.
Yeah.
But it's when we're alone is what our true character shows.
So putting on our armor really begins with character, unity,
all of these things.
Love.
Because really, when we get to describing each piece of the character, it's really describing a character or a essence of who Jesus Christ is. So when you put on your armor, you are putting on Jesus Christ. Don't try to think of it as something out here that I'm having as a fruitful ministry or I'm putting on.
You run to your closet and get it on and walk out the door.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. You're putting on a person. And there are several different aspects. I say, if you put on Christ, why do you ever want to take Him off?
But because of the natural beings that we still are in a body that has not known total redemption, mm-hmm. we do have to really recognize every day that we need to be aware that we have that belt of truth and that we have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. Each one of those is essential, and each one can go back to the person of Christ, and Christ takes everything that he's done back to the cross. And understanding the cross then gives us the freedom for him to work his power through us. So that was kind of a little winding path on it.
So basically what you're telling me is that without putting on the character of Christ in unity of love, in all of the things that we find in chapters 4 and 5, then We can't put on the armor of God, that because that is the armor of God.
We're treading water and going nowhere, and not only treading water, we are an offense to the triune Godhead because they didn't go through this time from before eternity to bring us to the point to where we could be a family, because they knew about the Garden of Eden long mm-hmm. before it, and they made plans for not only total recovery, but for even a greater thing than what was known in the Garden of Eden. But it's when we choose not to listen to our leader, but we want the comfort, the protection, the benefits, the kudos, the blessings, but we don't want to pay the price that he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, we need to just make a little bit of a separation here, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ is similar to ours, but we could never take up Jesus Christ's cross because, you know what, Sharon? I can't pay for your sins. Right. I can love you terribly, uh-huh. but I have no capacity. If I died, because that was the requirement, death to sin, I can never come back to life. So right. I can't pay for him. There's only one who can pay. But as he takes up his cross for us, so that we could have life. So we then need to be willing to die to self and selfishness, babyhood, compromise, I'll do it my way. All of those things that are in the natural being, we are told to die to those so that the power of God is free to rest upon us, so that the benefits of the cross of Christ can also be our benefits to others.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Yes.
He did this for others. Jesus Christ didn't have to leave heaven and come down and go through all of this. I mean, they had a good thing going before we were ever planned. But they wanted a family. They wanted the fullness of the love of God to be made known throughout eternity. And love must have others to give. Love gives. It's charity.
Yeah.
All right. Some love is selfish these days, but agape love is a giving love. So that's why we're looking at the warfare situation, because right now we want to have the benefits of just loving someone without the other requirements.
Well, we don't want to go to war. And we think that because we say, well, I'm not going to prepare for that because I really don't want to go to war. I'm not cut out for warfare. You know, I'd rather stay right here on the home front. But to be honest, we are in war whether we like it or not. So most of the time, we are surrendering to the enemy. We're giving up our freedoms. We're giving up our livelihood. And then we complain to God about, you know, why did you let this happen kind of thing? And so all of that encompassed because we won't surrender to warfare.
We open the door for the enemy to come in and take the ground. Mm-hmm. We open those doors because we don't put the armor on. We don't claim the promises and stand upon the promises that he's given mm-hmm. us. We don't know our doctrines. We don't know how to be light in a dark environment. Basically, mm-hmm. we are, shall I just say, emotional failures unless we are willing to follow the tenets and the mandates that the Lord has laid down.
I once said, grace obviously gets us out of law and into freedom, but grace also has its tenets of law. It has its you must do this, its mandates, its your ought-tos.
Right, right.
F.J. Hugel has made a couple of comments that I find a little amusing. And this comes out of his book called The Old Serpent, the Devil by F.J. Hugel. And I just want to refer to a couple of things here. He basically says that the goal is to become a Christian. And so the enemy fights to keep you in his court, to keep you in his on his team, and to keep you in death. But if he can't do that, because we have the Holy Spirit that has been given, that draws, then he wants to keep you a babe. And so the next step is he wants to keep you from maturing. If he can't keep you on his team, then he wants you to be such a weak person on the other team that you really don't account to anything. So he says, now, if Satan can only keep you from obtaining maturity, if he can just keep you in the swaddling clothes of Christian babyhood, what a tremendous efforts the power of darkness make in order that Christians may never come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And then he says, a victorious Christian filled with the Spirit, one who has blossomed out into true Christianity and who has fully apprehended that which Christ apprehended him, is a terrible thing for the kingdom of darkness. Now, a baby is beautiful, but a baby that remains in spite of passing years is a monster. Mm-hmm. The devil knows it, and this is why he struggles to stunt Christian growth. How sweet it is, Sharon, to just get up and go to church and go on singing about God's love when the cross is calling us to sacrifice and suffer and a bleeding ministry on behalf of dying souls. And are we willing to get active in that?
Those all sound like warfare words.
Yes.
Bleeding, dying, sacrifice, suffering.
And we've been told you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. We've been told that 100 years ago, that was a foreign concept, that you could take up the cross and not have this type of life. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, there are even tracts that I have read on having the cross with just the blessings. That's falsehood. That's false doctrine. And so how do we introduce people to desiring from their heart to be able to take up the mantle the way young men sign up for the draft,
right,
or they want to go serve.
They go serve in war.
Or people are...
Serve their country.
Yes. Or even people that are sports-minded or willing to discipline, do without sacrifice for the goal of the game.
Yeah.
And yet here we are called with having the winning game already in our hands.
Yeah.
And then we say, but we don't want to play.
Yeah.
Or I'll start off the first quarter, but I want to sit out the second.
Yeah.
And we do things like...
I just want to be a bench warmer, Jenny. Can I just sit on the sidelines?
Yeah. Well, you know...
I'll cheer the team on from the sidelines.
You'll be the cheerleader. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I've got to go back to where you opened us up with today, and that is back to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, Miss Sharon and Miss Janie, be strong in the Lord and stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is done by putting on the armor.
Well, Janie, this has really helped me today, because putting on the armor has always been a struggle. I've always asked about it, but never really got a clear understanding of what that really meant. And so understanding that we go back to Ephesians 4 and 5 and gather all the information that's there, all of those things are components to the armor of God.
This is what our training is about by being here. And we've got to quit being callous because it's too hard, because callousness brings us to an insensitivity, and an insensitivity brings us to a point to where we are willing to question, and then that puts us into unbelief.
And compromise. Janie, that's all the time we have for today. Will you close us out in prayer?
Oh, I would love to. Father, as we start down this path, be our light so that we don't stumble along the way, but that we can bring forth the truth that you have shown in your word. But, oh, Father, it's got to be applied so that we can understand to follow through with joy and with wisdom, with diligence, with perseverance. The character, Father, that you've taught us as you walked here on earth. So we submit all of these requests to you, understanding that as we pray in your authority, in your name, trusting you to bring this about, that we will enter into your rest and quit doing our own thing and only do what you do through us. So we praise you and we love you. We thank you in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today for the Sharon Hartz Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHartz.org. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.